listening to Sheep Might Fly, the podcast of serialised fantasy and science fiction stories written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. This week we're on part 4 of Fake Geek Girl, a novelette in 10 parts, which was previously published in Review of Australian Fiction, Volume 14, Issue 4, in May 2015. Fake Geek Girl, Part 4. The Elegant and Articulate Diary of Miss Juniper Creswell, Gentle Witch and Scholar. Saturday. It is a truth universally acknowledged that a young lady of moderate intelligence, who has an unhealthy adoration of unreal literature of the 19th century, will inevitably end up writing a journal. It is likewise inevitable that said journal should end up sounding somewhat like a pale imitation of Austen and Eliot, but hopefully nothing like Dickens, otherwise the young lady in question may have to put a wand to her head and hex her brains all over the wall. Let us be frank. There are other issues that the aforementioned young lady should probably be writing about, for the sake of working through her confused emotions, but probably shall not. These include A. Holly Hallow and her pretty hair. B. Belonging to a cult favourite band, thanks largely to her skills with the cello, triangle, and assorted miscellaneous musical instruments. C. The young lady's own thighs and any conflicted feelings she may have about their size and how they appear on stage, with or without the assistance of hoop skirts. D. Holly Hallow and her perfect body. E. Holly Hallow and her stupid boyfriend. F. The young lady having to hand-make her own retro fashions, rather than buying genuine vintage, because it's hard to find genuine vintage above a size 16. G. Wanting to kiss stupid Holly Hallow. H. Jogging. Having established what this journal will not be about, and something of its apparent signature style, hello. My name is Miss Juniper Creswell. I am the lead cellist, which Sage assures me is kind of like being the bass player, of a band called Fake Geek Girl. We're a bit famous, but I'm not being overly modest when I add that qualification. It's difficult to quantify fame to any degree, though apparently our fame is deserving of internet cookies. Trust me when I say that internet cookies are not a viable currency in any economy. Least of all an Australian university campus, where the College of the Real gets twice the funding and attention as the College of the Unreal. Last night, I sang a song in public. This should be of no particular note, given that I am, as previously mentioned, in a band. But this was different. It was my song, and I sang it. Fake Geek Girl has always been about Holly and her voice and her writing, and also about Sage and his songs and his ability to make magic happen. I don't mean the ordinary turning people into frogs kind of magic. I mean knowing people and arranging for things like a regular gig at Medea's Cauldron and social media and making us go viral that one time. It's even about Hebe, who isn't in the band, but inspires most of the songs one way or another. It was about Nora too, but then she graduated and left the band and the whole balance was off because it used to be a queer girl band that happened to have a male drummer, and then we were three and I never really felt like... I suspect I've lost my intended tone here. I wrote stupid songs about Victorian novels, which is full of ideas from the thesis I haven't written yet, and my unrequited love for an indie rock queen, and my insecurity about being in a band that once went viral on YouTube, OMG, all wrapped up in a pretty lace bonnet. I never intended it to be a Fake Geek Girl song, because some songs just aren't. But Holly read it, and she looked at me with those eyes of hers, seriously, those eyes. And she insisted that I sing it, and she bought us parasols to open during the second verse, and she believed in me. more than anyone has ever believed in me before. Mostly it was the parasols. If I hadn't already gone stupid about her, I think that the parasols would have tipped me over the edge. I've been getting up the nerve and losing it again for weeks, but last night I sang the song and the audience cheered and it was amazing. It was magic. It was the best night of my life. Everything else is ghastly. Holly and Sage are fighting, and that means not only that they're not talking to each other, which is awful, but little sparks of magic keep bouncing off them both and charging into the rest of us, so we're all about ready to kill each other. I didn't want to come to comfort lunch. I always feel a bit on the outside anyway, because it's supposed to be a band thing, but it's really more of a Manic Pixie Dream House thing, and I'm the only one now who boards over at the residential halls instead of living at the house. We do it every Saturday to wind down and regroup after the Friday night show. If we're in the downstairs flat, then Holly cooks us something ridiculous and trendy out of a magazine. And if we're in the upstairs flat, then Sage cooks something in the carnivorous crockpot of doom. It's nice, except when Holly and Sage have their teeth into each other and right now they're biting down hard. Nora used to be amazing at calming them both, but she's gone and Hebe won't pick sides. May buries herself in her laptop and her mirrors and Deck talks about gaming and everyone pretends it's fine. It's not fine. It's not fine. So today we were in the upstairs flat and it was Ferd's first introduction to this little tradition of ours. How is he supposed to know it's not always this horrible? We ate lasagna and garlic bread and chocolate cake because Sage is amazing in the kitchen when he's trying to rein in his magic from setting fire to people. And the tension was so sharp I could have plucked it like my cello strings. The closest we came to a civilized conversation was this. The mysterious Ferdinand.
So I know Deck is in Unreal Fine Arts because of the ceramics thing, and Sage is in the theoretical sorcery at the College of the Real, right?
Angry, snappy Sage.
Also practical majory and demonstrative thaumaturgical phenomena.
It's a triple major. I take night classes in Unreal Engineering when I can, but they often ban me if the equipment's too complex because it doesn't always stay in one piece when I'm around. The mysterious Ferdinand.
That seems a lot.
Deck, unflappable. He makes course counsellors cry. The mysterious Ferdinand.
So what are the rest of you studying?
Hebe pretending everything's fine, like always. Unreal literature and gender studies.
Nervous, jittery Miss Juniper.
We're in some of the same literature classes, but my major is political science. May, cool as a cucumber. I'm doing a degree in standard magic.
Angry, snappy Sage, which is basically generic life skills.
May, cool as a cucumber. Keeps my parents off my back until I figure out how to make a living from fanfic.
Deck, unflappable. No one ever makes a living from fanfic. That's not a thing.
May, cool as a cucumber. Brave new world, brave new business model.
Sharp-edged Holly.
I do real arts law, but I'm thinking of dropping out.
Hebe, pretending everything's fine, like always. No, you're not. You always say you will, but you only have another year to go.
Sharp-edged Holly.
What about you, Ferd of Mystery?
Real, of course.
The mysterious Ferdinand.
I'm thinking of making a change. I have a meeting with a course counsellor on Monday.
Meaningful look between Ferd and Hebe goes on so long everyone feels kind of uncomfortable. Tension broken by Holly's phone, chiming with a text message.
Sharp-edged Holly.
Shall I read it out loud to you, Sage? Are you saving it for later?
Angry, snappy Sage.
Give it a fucking rest, will you?
After the chilly, awkward silence that followed, Deck started to explain this vintage tabletop game he had just bought. Ferd knew an out when he saw it and pretended to be ever so interested. Then Hebe threw herself at both of them, claiming to be desperate to teach Ferd about dice rules. For one horrible moment, I realised they were doing it to leave the band alone together. And then I remembered that I was an adult and could pretend to be interested in gaming if I wanted. So, the rest of us ended up in Dec's room playing a game about retro magical artefacts, while Holly and Sage spat sparks of passive aggressiveness at each other in the kitchen. I sat on Dec's bed with May, and we watched Hebe and Ferd struggle to perform a subtle and restrained kind of flirting that even I left behind at high school. May ran her finger lightly over the mirror that lay on her lap, and the words, "I dub them Hebe Phoenix and I shall ship them forever," appeared in magical smoke on the glass. I touched my own finger to the mirror. One true pairing. May smiled, which isn't something she generally does in my presence. So it wasn't a completely ghastly day after all. Ghastly didn't happen until 4 a.m. the next morning.